Well, it's good to be here. Oh, man, it's a lot. I got to turn down the cop voice. Oh, you're all right. You're not pulled over. I don't know about you, but last week as I was encouraging you to be watchful in 2024, you know, there's so much crazy things happening, not only around the world, but in our own country. And maybe in your life. I know some of the stuff is happening in my life, and my own family's struggling with stuff, right? And the challenge for us as believers is, can we refocus and stay on contact with the one who's in charge of it all, our Lord Jesus Christ? And last week I spoke about the opportunities to confirm our faith as we saw Abraham not hesitate when God called him, despite the wrestling. When God said, sacrifice the son I gave you, even though he was 100 years old, take him to the mountain and sacrifice him. And then we saw the young man, Isaac, who was a young man, and we saw his heart, probably because he had a good daddy as a good role model. I was blessed to have one of those. And we saw Isaac, even though a young man and he could overpower a 100-year-old daddy, he willingly submitted to God's calling, which was to lie on the wood. And when all that happened, the next thing we saw was God stepping in and staying the hand of Abraham before he sacrificed his son. And we see that if you look at your own life, as I look at my life, God has been faithful, amen? Look at your journey, and I look at my journey, and I go, man, he was so timely and so perfect when he came, and he presented himself for our stuff. So tonight's message, as I finish Genesis 22, verses 13 through 24, I've entitled, God, the providing promise keeper. God, the providing promise keeper. I believe for myself, the year 2024 is a year of choosing. All of us make daily choices, but I think God is calling his flock to make a choice for him in this year. And all these things are going to come our way. In fact, if we look at Matthew 16, and we hear Jesus speaking. I don't think, are you going to put that up? Or? No, it's all right. I'll read it. We hear Jesus speaking, Matthew 16, 24 through 27. It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Verse 25, for whoever wishes to save his life shall lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. Verse 26. For what will a man profit if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And what an encouragement in verse 27. For the Son of Man is going to come. He's going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels and will then recompense or give back to every man according to his deeds. And so as I look at you and I struggling to live this Christian life, Jesus has promised, it's coming, I'm coming. I believe it's real soon as I look at the Bible and the world and my own life. And when you think about Isaac and his obedience with no hesitation, Isaac, willful submission, God and his faithful provision. I want to encourage you with some thoughts I heard today. And I say it to encourage everyone, even myself. You see this book. Every believer should have experiential, I'm not talking about all of our experiences, no. Every believer should have experiences that is real to you and I in this book and for our lives. That is the only way you and I know that this is God's word and it's true. And if you're living your life and this Bible is not coming true for you, something is wrong with how you're receiving it or your willful submission to it. Because you see, this book will set us free. Can you hear an amen? That's kind of weak, but I'll take it. Some of you don't want to be set free. Look, my loved ones, I want to encourage you tonight. Holy Spirit, He is real. And you and I must have a real relationship with Him. That's a choice for 2024. You see, I don't know about you, but you remember when, I love how I was listening to a pastor today, and he put it so clearly for me. And look at your life. Remember our lives before Jesus? I remember I used to like party, like arrest big people, and I couldn't really walk away from it. Charge big waves just because I could. You know, that adrenaline rush. Ah, I was reckless for me and the world. And then what happens to you and I when we become Christians? We're really careful. Who'd want to be reckless? Why can't we be reckless for God? This past Christmas, we were at CVS or Long's. And my wife and I was walking in there to do some shopping. And one of those gentlemen who, you know, they empty the garbage and they sweep the malls, right? And as we walked by him, Holy Spirit said, Fabe, go over there, thank him for what he does, and pray for him. And I was like, serious? That's reckless for me. I chose to obey Holy Spirit. And you should have seen that man's face light up. Just like all of you have the capability of bringing God's hope and love to someone that God brings your way. Amen? That's being reckless for God. When are you and I willing to do that? Or do we have to be very comfortable before we do it? And we look at Abraham and Isaac, and they were wrestling, and they were in doubt. They were confused. And they obeyed. And they obeyed. And we're going to pick up the story to see God continuing His faithfulness in not only providing, but keeping His promises. Not only for them, but for you and I. So I have ears to hear. Father, we thank You so much for this word. And whenever we gather, Lord, we cry out that it'll be a lamp into our feet and a light into our path. So I pray for everyone here in the sanctuary, online, on the radio, whatever it is, God, light us up by Your word. Let it be real. The time is now. We're not promised tomorrow. Teach us Your ways, Lord, that we may walk in Your truth. Unite our hearts, that we may fear Your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. All God's people say, amen. Amen. I'll be reading Genesis 22, verses 13 and 14, and then I'll break it up in the following verses. We pick up the story. We left off with Abraham just ready to do it. God says, hold back. Then we saw him gaze, refocus to God, and he sees this ram trapped. God provides him with the sacrifice in lieu of his son. And it's a crazy thing when you begin to understand the obedience leads to God's blessing. Let's pick it up, verse 13. Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked up after he heard God said, don't do it. Behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Verse 14. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. I love that. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it will be provided. Remember, we said this area of Moriah was where Jesus was crucified. God provided. That whole place from the time from now to the crucifixion was God's title for that place on the mountain. I will provide. I want us to notice that Abraham refocused his gaze on God. And the Lord provided his way. I don't know what you're going through, but remember when Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. Let me put that up. Look what Paul writes for you and I tonight. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. The only question is not God's provision. If you or I are looking for a godly way out, or are we so caught up with being comfortable? This will give me the message. This will give me the message. Buying stuff will give me the message. Traveling will give me. What is your way out? You examine yourself tonight. But God made a promise. I'm not going to ever let anything overcome you if you let me be in the middle of it, and I will provide you for a way out. As he has done for Abraham and Isaac. I look at this word as he raised his eyes, Abraham. Nasah. N-A-S-A-H. In the Hebrew, it means continually bear up or continually look. Yeah, when we get hurt and when our prayers we think aren't answered, or we stub our toe or something bad happens, we lose focus. And God understands that. And in this word, he says, refocus. And it's an action word, continually seek me. And I'm okay with you losing focus for a little bit. I'm always here. Don't ever forget that. He's always here for you and I. You see, Jesus, when I look at my Savior and your Savior, he desires us to continually seek him with our daily life. Every day he wants us. He wants us to focus on him. What a challenging thought that is. But I know this from my experience in the Word and my walk with Holy Spirit. I can say this without a doubt. As I or we choose to worship God, he will lead us into a place of provision to overcome our stuff. Do you think for a moment your personal stuff is too large for God? Of course not. But we make it that way at times, amen? And God is there. Man, I can get you through this. Refocus. Continually raise. Nasa, yourself up to me. Oh man, I love that. That speaks so much to me. And check this out, because God's word is so like precise. Notice this place, this mountaintop, was not named the mountain of Abraham's trials, the mountain of Abraham's agony. No. It was named a place of provision given by God. God will provide. You think about that on your mountaintops and your valleys. You know, a funny thing about humans is this. We can do, and you probably heard this before, we can do 99 good things. And the one bad thing we do, which one are we going to think about the most? The one. Right? We're our biggest critics. So we feel shame, and then that little demon is, I told you you'd never change. You just like hit them, right? But our hits don't count. What you need to say is, behind me, the blood of the Lamb is on me. Get away from me, right? Then that counts. That's like a unseen straight right hand. Knock demons right out of your head. But you see, you and I, we focus too much on only the bad, the hurt, the pain, the doubt. Some of us are struggling, and it's a real thing. We're depressed, or we're anxious, or we're doubtful. With God, all things are possible. Whether you believe it or not, that's what he says. Back in verse 9, we learned that, and I mentioned it last week, it was like a prophetic example that Isaac carried the wood to be slaughtered on. If you were here last week, I covered that. Same like our Messiah. He carried his wood. And on the same mountaintop, he was slaughtered for you and I. And it's not a weird thing, but on the third day, God provided the lamb, the ram. And on the third day, the demons were celebrating, but guess what? The Lord beat death, and he rose from the grave. And that's what gives you and I the faith to say, whoa, this Jewish rabbi Jesus, he was God. Because you can't find his bones. I'm so hard hit, I had to go there twice just to make sure. And the tomb was empty both times. But when you look at the provisions of God, I want to go back to 1 Corinthians. I'm going to read chapter 15, one verse. I love it. It's so encouraging for me. 1 Corinthians 15, 4. That he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. You notice this does not say according to the New Testament. You can find this prophecy in the Old Testament too if you better have eyes to study, to meditate and see with an open heart. And God tells you and I've spoken about myself coming for you from Genesis to Revelation. I've given you everything you need for life and godliness. Let me ask you this question. What has recently took, I'll read it how I wrote it because it was for me, it's my Bible study, I get to share it with you. What has recently took my eyes, Fabian's eyes, off of Jesus? What has recently done that to me? I'll give you a couple of my true life reasons. One, Americans, we're so busy, God bless you. Americans are so busy, aren't we? Especially through the holiday season, so busy. How about this one? Relationships. Ooh, somebody we love shakes things up. Sometimes I lose my focus. I look at the world around me and I go, wow, I'm kind of old, but I'm not that old. But in my life, I've seen the world like I've never seen it before. Some of the things, I just saw a golfer that's one step away to make the LPGA tour, and it's a guy. It's a guy. It's a biological male that's going to be playing professional golf against these professional women. Like, you know, I've never seen that growing up. I never seen it growing up. But we know it's demonic because we see it throughout the whole world. Amen? It's not just America. The devil has his hands on everything, from governments to vaccines to whatever you can think of. The devil has his hands in it. And when you start thinking about the world, it breaks my heart when I look at our own nation and I look at the great country you and I were blessed to be born in. You ever notice, you ever heard this term, America, the land of the free, right? But you know what the data tells us? We have more incarcerations than any other nation in the world. We have more murders, drugs, rapes, sex trafficking than any nation in the world. We have more laws than any nation in the world. I don't know, is that freedom? Or is that the result of being too free? I'm still kind of massaging that in my own mind. Because I know this, If we lose our moral compass in a land of the free, we're not free. We will serve another God. And yet the United States of America was breathed on by God. Only us and Israel. It's the only two nations. No other nation can claim that. When you start thinking about how we look, we lose focus and why. Those are the things I struggle with, and I'm just sharing my heart with you. And I got to get myself back on and say, you know what, God? You told me if heaven and earth pass away, you and your word will still remain. I'm going to cling to that. I'm going to cling to the eternal God. Amen? Verses 15 through 19. Going back to Genesis 22. It's an exciting time to live, especially if you and I believe we have a purpose. I'll speak a little bit more about that as I close. 15 through 19. Then the angel of the Lord, my Bible has it, it's capital, Lord, right? The angel of the Lord. Usually speaking of a theophany or a Christophany, or I believe it's Jesus, a pre-incarnated Jesus, talking to Abraham, the angel of the Lord, all caps. But God is speaking to Abraham here. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven, and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, verse 17, indeed I will greatly bless you and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore. And your seed shall possess the gates of their enemies, verse 18. And in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. And verse 19. So Abraham returned to his young men, his servants, who were on the bottom of the mountain, and they arose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham lived at Beersheba. The angel, Malach, that's the Hebrew, which means the theophanic God or angel, or another definition is by myself. So God says, I am speaking to Abraham by myself. I didn't send a servant. I am speaking to him directly by myself. Man, I long for that day when you and I can be in heaven and we can hear him, right? Face to face. Wow, exciting. And in these verses, we see God is speaking in the first person. That's how we know it's God. He doesn't go, the Lord sent me to tell you this. He goes, no, I. He's speaking like he's there with Abraham. He's speaking in the first person. No one else is there. And God reconfirms his promises as he speaks back to Abraham. He says, Abraham, you remember in Genesis 17, 21 and Genesis 21, 12, and I promised Isaac to you and all your descendants. That'll still come to pass. And notice the results as Abraham decided to dedicate his life to God. Just like you and I tonight, either online or on television, whatever, on the radio. When you and I begin to dedicate our lives to Jesus, amazing blessings happen. Fruits begin to multiply. Others in our lives will be blessed. And the most important thing is in your capacity of this world, the people who you come in contact with, they will see Jesus. And they'll have an opportunity to choose. Because how you live, not what you say. I don't know, I'm excited about that. That's a purpose I never thought of as a young kid growing up in Cali. Oh, God gonna use me? Yeah, right. That was the farthest thing from my mind. Farthest thing. But the amazing blessings that we have waiting for us when we focus. And we're nasa. We constantly look up. And we say, Lord, have your way. Have your way in my life. I don't know about you, but I not only read it, I've lived it. God's plans have special results. You look at your own life. God's plans for you is especially ordained and made for you, and it has a good purpose. And it's not only heaven. Remember what Jesus said in John 10:10? Yep. The thief or the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come to give you life, yea, life more abundant. Right? So you and I living the abundant life right now, being able to say no to things we could never say no to, because in ourselves we can't. But greater is He who is in us than He who is in the world. Amen? And so when you start to consider that in your walk, wherever you at in your walk tonight, God has special plans for you with special results. You know, once again, as we read His word, we are taught obedience is a key element with our relationship with God. And that's a struggle for humans, especially some of us have addictive behaviors. It's a struggle. Some of us put certain relationships so high that if God tells us to, like, put it secondary to Him, we struggle. But when you and I begin to put Him first above everything else, like Abraham and Isaac, that obedience, the results will be tremendous for you and I. What was the result for Abraham? Wow. Not only was his family blessed, but all the nations of the world is blessed. But Abraham's choices led to the Messiah being in his lineage. Think about that. He was obeying with a very difficult moment. And I'm sure even from the beginning, when he left Ur, and he struggled with, why is this voice talking to me to leave everything? I'm a rich guy. I have a nice life here. But I'm going to do it because I believe it's a higher power. When you and I begin to step out in that faith, what we see is not only you and I get blessed, but everyone around us will be blessed in some form or another. I start to think about that, and I'm challenged by that. And the choice for all of us is, do you want to be, in 2024, a blessing or a curse? Have things your way all the time. Or do you want to step out of your comfort zone and bless somebody and give God the glory? Because you knew it was Him, not you. I hope that makes sense. Are you with me tonight? You guys are good? All right. Kind of quiet over here. You guys are good? You guys good? Okay. Amen. Now we're going to get to the closing, and there's a whole bunch of names here, right? But there's a few important ones. Well, they're all important because they're in God's Word. I don't know. What if your name was in the Bible? It would be important for you, huh? So even though we might not know everyone that's written here, they're all important because they all lead either towards the lineage of Christ or towards another direction, right? And so let's read the closing verses, verses 20 through 24. Excuse me. Now it came about after these things, all these things that happened. It was told Abraham, saying, behold, Milcah also has borne children to your brother Nahor. If you don't know who Nahor is, he was the brother of Abram at the time, Abram. In the land of Ur, Genesis 11, verses 27 through 29 tells us that. So here's Abram's brother who didn't leave Ur. He stayed. and he was growing there in family and whatever businesses he was having. And so we see Nahor mentioned here. And we go on in verse 21, Uz, his firstborn, and Boaz, his brother, and Kemuel, the father of Aram, and Chesed, and Hazel, and Pildash, and Japheth, and Bethel. And Bethel became the father of who? Rebekah. That name sounds familiar, huh? These eight Milcah bore to Nahor, that was his wife, Abram's brother. And his concubine, whose name was Rumah, also bore to Tebah, Gehem, Tahash, and Ma'akah. And so we see these names, and some of the key names here is Bethel, he had a daughter, and her name was Rebekah, later to become this young man who was going to lie on the altar of God and get sacrificed. Rebekah was to be Isaac's wife. You see, God had it all worked out, just like he has for your life and my life. He has it all worked out. He has seen the beginning from the end of your life and my life. He has seen the beginning of the end from what we know as mankind to the end of this current world. And he has great plans for that. But when you see these names, it's interesting because right at the end, verse 24 has this, first time ever used, this word concubine. Concubine. And I've heard it spoke. Well, you know, having an affair or another thing, it's in the Old Testament. Great men of the Old Testament had concubines. And I'm like, that's just an excuse for a fellow to have more than one wife. That is the basis of polygamy in the Mormon religion. Because the Old Testament does not speak against polygamy. You never see it. Unless you meditate on God's word. And it's there. And it's there. What did Jesus say? Let's look at Matthew 19, verses 4 through 6 on this. Oh, all right, they got it. Because they asked. They were challenging Jesus about divorce. Is it legal? Because the law of Moses says you can't divorce. The law of America says we can't divorce, right? Yes? You're not a criminal if you have a divorce. You won't go to hell if you have a divorce. Haven't you read, Jesus says. They challenged Jesus. Haven't you read? And this is Jesus replying, that at the beginning, the Creator made them male and female. And he said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. Wow. He made it simple, huh? Do you see the word concubine in there? Do you see, fellas, the women got to be straight up, but you can have multiple this and that. We don't see that. We don't see that at all. Because God's heart from the beginning was not polygamy. It was not to have a concubine. That's a human decision. That is a human way of making things workable for how we live. Huh. When Jesus speaks that, he's actually quoting Genesis 2, verse 24. He's just repeating that in God's word. You see, God's heart has always been a man and a woman. You see how simple that is? And you look at our world today. Wouldn't it be better if we could teach our kids in the public schools evolution so they have a choice? Teach them evolution, but teach them about creation. And then they get to choose. What do you think that's good? Right? Because they got to make the choice. But I dare say, in our system, they will not speak about God creating a man and a woman because it hurts feelings. You're going to have to give them cocoa and crackers in a separate room because you hurt their feelings, right? And look, I'm not here to disc any subculture, any personal beliefs. I'm here to say, God has said this, I have created man and I've created woman. And that makes it so simple for me. And I like simplicity because I'm a simple guy. I can't fathom too much of God. Then my head goes, pow, just explodes. Because he's way too big for me. But as you start to consider this world and the type of relationships, I'm going to tell you this from my own experience, but I also read some lives in the Bible and this happens. When polygamy comes in, or in my family, they didn't marry, but they had girlfriends upon girlfriends, right? Kids there, my auntie home with the other kids, right? That was kind of common in my family. Maybe your family's a little better than that. But I know this, if you breathe concubines or whatever label you want to put on them, this is what the result is. God will remove his hand from that relationship. You know what's going to replace it? Chaos and confusion. And in my family, that's all I saw growing up. Over and over again until I met Jesus. And he showed me the word faithfulness was never in my vocabulary. I've been married 33 years faithfully to my beautiful wife. That's because of Jesus and nobody else. That was not modeled for me growing up. You see, God can do amazing things. I'm going to be thrown onto the North Shore when I die in my ashes. But if I did have a headstone, the greatest thing someone could put on it is, here lies a faithful husband. Because that is a miracle for me. And when I look at the miracle God in these words, and he's telling you and I tonight, my heart is not to have chaos and confusion in your life. Keep it simple. Let me move in a simple way. I care. I love you. I asked this question as I was doing the study for myself. How does God's provision look like for my life? Think about that. Look at your life right where you're at tonight, either on screen, on radio, or here in the sanctuary. How does God's provision look like for your life? How do you know God is real? What has he provided for you in your own life? Here's my list. My wife. My family. My church family. My health. My abilities. My career. Where I live. And the greatest among that is escaping me. He set me free from Fabian. And he said, man, I got so much more. And you can never believe, Fabe. Let me turn you loose for my glory. Look where I am tonight. If it wasn't for Jesus, you think I'd be in a place like this? When I was a young man, I could care less. I'd be drinking with other police officers. Be listening to live music somewhere. Just entertaining myself with whatever I wanted to be entertained by or with. But God, amen, he has those plans for you and for me. And I don't want you to forget that. You know, when you walk out of here tonight, I want you to know this. From the bottom of my heart, if you get anything tonight, get this. Because of what we read by Abraham, Isaac, and everything God has provided, know this. God loves you. God made you faithfully and wonderfully and beautifully. And God, in Jeremiah chapter 1, he tells us this. I knew you when you were still in your mother's womb. As he speaks to Jeremiah. And he says, I have a purpose for you. Young people, you have a purpose. Those of us aging, we have a purpose. Because you see, when you lose purpose, you lose hope. Why do you think they want our kids to think they're from a bang and then a sludgy lizard into, and now I'm here? Because you see, that gives us an excuse. I'm an animal. I can grab anything. If I'm more skilled and fit than you, I can kill you because I'm survival of the fittest. Right? That is the world system. And we lose hope. But I want you, my loved ones, to understand there is hope in Jesus. In his love for you, I don't care what you feel, and even at times what we believe, his love will never fail. He loves you and I so much and every human being that he'll give us all the way to our last ha or our last breath to get it right. Then when we breathe the last breath and we're into eternity, then he's got to judge. But that's how much he loves us. He gives us all the way to our last breath to make the choice for him. What will your choice be tonight when you leave this place? Some of you may be settled. I said the prayer. I've been baptized. Those are all outward expressions of your inner faith, I hope. But you see, God knows your heart. He knows my heart. And that's what he wants. Because you see, whoever wins this, win us. Whoever wins your heart wins your soul. Who's winning the battle for you and for my life tonight? Have faith. Have hope. Not a blind one. Let this word come alive. I don't care if it's one verse. I don't care if you spend 10 minutes in it. Spend it. 10 hours. Praise the Lord. Spend it. Whatever it is for you, let God's word come alive in you so you can refocus when we're losing focus. Ooh. 2024, as I wind down, it's going to bring a lot of challenges. I don't even care if we have a new president, which I hope we do. But you know, the next president is not going to save the world. You guys know that, amen? There's only one person that the government can rest on his shoulders with no corruption. And his name is Emmanuel. No one else can fill that slot but him. And he made this promise for you and I. After he spoke truth and he says, in the end times, it'll be like the days of Noah. Can you even imagine how bad Noah's days was? Can you imagine how bad that was? Because he ain't back yet. You think we got it bad? It's not even near the days of Noah yet. I don't know how that's going to look for us. But I know AI is going to have something to do with it. Man, they can morph people and things now with AI, right, and present it. And it's crazy where this world is going with this technology we live in. But we haven't got to the days of Noah. And then the Lord says, look up, because your redemption is near. Don't lose hope. I don't care how bad it gets for you. You refocus. Choose to refocus. Even when your mind is going crazy and your feelings are saying don't, do it. That's the only time I like you to be like Nike. Do it. Other than that, me and Nike, we don't get along too well. But refocus on Jesus. He will never leave you or forsake you. And he won't let you go astray. He is the good shepherd. Amen? So when we go through this 2024 with all the challenges, you need to know, and I need to remember this, our Lord is ready and able to provide, as the title tonight. He is the God of provision, as we saw the mountaintop. Here's your personal choice and my personal choice for 2024. You ready? Real simple. I'm a Kalihi kid, man. Should have graduated from Farrington, but my mom would kick me out of Kalihi and send me to California. I love you, Mom. I didn't have that much love then as a teenager, but I'll just do it. But I like things simple, being that I'm supposed to graduate from Farrington. And simply, 2024 is this. Here's our personal choice. You and I can choose, we can make the choice to be overwhelmed by the things of this world, including the things in our head. That's choice number one. And this one is difficult, but it's the second choice. You and I can allow the Holy Spirit to come in us and train us and prepare us for the next moment we're about to experience. Simply, my loved ones, that's the two choices we have. You're either for him or you're against him. One is chaos and confusion, unclarity, and one is we get to see and know that he is God. Remember what the psalmist wrote, Psalm 46:10. Here's our part. Take a deep breath. Be still. Know that I am God. You and I got to choose that first. Stop the speed of this life. Be still. And then when we refocus, when nasah, we regaze, we see that he is God. Amen. Can we stand, please? And if you can't stand, don't worry. Please don't. If it's cumbersome on you, don't. I just want to do a corporate prayer together. And yeah, the worship team can come up. Thank you, guys. What a great worship team. I mean, even with just three, right? They don't have to have stage that disappears and stuff, right? It's just worshiping the Lord, man. This brother right here, his heart, whoo, God's got his heart. So I love that. I love that about him. So, Father, you see us standing. You see us gathering for the sake of Christ. And, Father God, we come before you as a corporate body of believers. And we say, come, Lord Jesus. But, Lord, prepare us. Prepare us for how that might be in our lives and our families as you're ready to come. I don't know all the problems and challenges of my brothers and sisters. But I know this, you do, Lord, and you are an awesome God who provides. And so as they're standing here, I pray a blessing over them and their ohana, their families. God, may you just fill them to overflowing. Would you help them to refocus as 2024 comes hard and heavy, to distract, to despair, to discourage. May the Spirit of the Lord rise within them. And may the eyes of Jesus be upon them. Bless us, God. We need you more than ever before. We pray for Pastor Bill and Danita. I pray for the staff here. I pray for every man, woman in this earth, God, who is proclaiming the Lord Jesus and worshiping him in spirit and truth. Lord, would you keep us in the palm of your hands? Because it is not easy. But God, we cling to you because you are our hope. And so I pray a prayer of provision over your people. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord makes his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And be gracious unto thee. The Lord lifts up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. God bless you. Love you guys.